Hello, everybody. It's been quite a while, but we are back on the PG podcast. As you can see, there's no video this week, and I am not sitting beside Hemza K. No, Hemza K is currently enjoying his week off. Yeah, that guy gets vacations sometimes, and I'm actually quite jealous. I wish I had a couple. But in his place, you can barely get that out. It's been so long. I'm out of podcast practice. Is a good friend of mine and my cousin, a hockey fanatic like myself, knows the game, loves the game very well, Adam Davies. Adam, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Good, Phil. How have you been?
I've been quite fantastic, actually. I got to thank you, first of all, for stepping in for Hemza here, taking his shift. He's resting on the bench. You can see him slugging some water back. He looks pretty tired, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks very tired. It's about time. I got a bit of ice time.
I know, right? You've been you got to wipe that dust off your shoulder. You've been collecting it a little bit here. friendly chirps here. Okay.
No, I got to have the friendly chirps.
You got to get those in once in a while, or else it doesn't make for interesting podcasting. Trust me. If I didn't rag on Hemza, or if we didn't have a couple laughs back and forth, people would just be like, ugh, this is terrible.
That's true.
But you know what? I want to start this off. This is going to be a really trade deadline, trade heavy, Maple Leafs heavy, because there's a lot of stuff Ab and I can talk about hockey-wise, and I want to kind of center into those things here. So I want to talk to you about the first big trade that broke, and that was Evander Kane and Zach Bogosian to Buffalo for Tyler Myers and Drew Stafford. Do you remember hearing about this?
Well, one thing I think, Buffalo got the good end of the deal, in my honest opinion. You got a good player like Evander Kane going down to a team that's been always under 20, let's say, for the past couple of years that I've been watching.
Fair enough.
In return, Winnipeg, they cut some salary so that they could free up some room to maybe get some other guys, get some trade bait going. But besides that, in my honest opinion, I think Buffalo got the good stick, and the other guy got the one that you use out in road hockey.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm gonna totally agree with you there. For Buffalo to pick up someone like Evander Kane and Zach Bogosian, who people forget this, but Zach Bogosian went after, I think it was Stamkos and Drew Doughty. He was like really high up in the draft. People forget that all the time. And of course, is Evander Kane, 23 years old, like. He's as old as you, man. It's weird. And he can light the lamp. People just they underestimate his talent. And going back to Winnipeg is Tyler Myers, a huge, huge defenseman. Obviously not like huge and like exactly quite skilled like someone like a Shea Weber, who's just fantastic, but honestly, a solid defenseman on their back end. And someone like Drew Stafford, obviously not the quality of Evander Kane, but you know, someone who's good for depth. Can help them make a good push in the West. A big thing too is that, just picture this, Buffalo is currently sitting in last place in the overall standings. So imagine they get first overall and they pick up, of course, let's not be around the bush here, Connor McDavid's going first overall. You can agree with that, right?
Oh, totally. Like, the guy's been lighting up the friggin'
OHL.
OHL or AHL, wherever he is right now. In my honest opinion, if whoever gets him, it'd be a great asset. He's going to be an up-and-coming star. He's, for all you know, he could be running the next couple years against Crosby, Stamkos, Ovechkin, and guys like that.
In my
opinion, if they just freed up some salary with those guys leaving to get Evander Kane to help him out if they do get him, that's an honest pick in my book.
I'm going to agree with you 100% there. If they can lay in Connor McDavid, they got a very, very good shot at doing that right now. We're talking a very good shot. There's an online simulator here. Maybe I'll link it to it once we're done, where you can actually click simulate, and it will take in all the odds that the teams have, and it will give you the actual like draft order predicts. It's a lottery, so you can run it through 1,000 times. I personally did this last night 50 times. Buffalo won, 10 times. I had Edmonton winning about 7 times, Toronto winning 7 times, which just gave me so much hope. It gave me so much optimism to hear that Toronto won 7 times in the online lottery.
Yeah, that'd be awesome to Connor McDavid, but like every year when I watch the trade deadline, stuff like that, and then we watch the draft lottery, the last place team only has 25% chance of actually pulling first place, if I'm correct.
It's even lower now. Teams, you were correct.
It's even lower.
It's 20% now.
Oh, it's 20 now. So they've got a fifth chance, really, of their name coming up out of the top five.
Exactly. I remember everyone was pegging, what was it? Oh, I'm trying to think.
Well, that was a few years ago. Edmonton, last place. Buffalo was above them, I believe. You might have to look this up, but Edmonton was supposed to be favored to get a guy, and next thing you know, Edmonton showed up second, and then I believe it was Buffalo showed up ahead of them.
Yeah, that sounds about correct. It might not have been Buffalo, but I know the exact thing you're quoting, and yeah, Edmonton, again, like, they can even fall as far down as, like, third, and even maybe fourth. But let's hop into some Leaf news, stuff you and I are comfortable talking about. So, the first big Leaf trade was Mike Santarelli and Cody Franson to Nashville for Olli Jokinen, a first-round pick in this year's entry draft, and Brandon Lipsick, or whatever the hell you pronounce his name. It's freaking weird.
Lipsick, I believe.
Yeah, Lipsick, whatever, Brandon Lipstick. That's what we're going to call him.
Yeah, we'll call him Lipstick.
Lipstick, it's easy just for now. But as a Leaf fan, man, that blows. I freaking love Santarelli. He was a steal. And Cody Franson, good right-handed shot. And I'm not going to lie, good return with Olli Jokinen, who inevitably got traded a first, and Lipsick. But, man, it's just such a bummer to no longer see Franson or Santarelli donning the blue and white.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Like, Santarelli was starting to turn it on as soon as the trade deadline came, in my opinion. Cody Franson, he's had his shaky moments, but you know what? He's still better than our $7 million pylon we have in Toronto.
Well, he's back.
Won a couple since he's been back, but that could just be coincidence.
We won one game since he's been back, and I was there.
Yeah. Bet you were saying, go away, $7 million pylon.
I've been saying that for the past like 5 years, so that doesn't really matter. Even before
He has his moments. But
when he's not taking his own
I think we got a good trade out of those two. We got a first-round pick this year. Nashville, it's going to be a low, like anywhere lower 20s, right?
Yeah,
depending on how they finish in around there. So we still got a first round pick. We got Olli Jokinen. I guess we'll get into what he got traded for in a bit.
Yeah.
And then we got a guy that's going to our AHL team.
Essentially. But that's not bad. He's a prospect. You know, he could develop into something later. That's the thing that people are forgetting, is that he can develop and he can grow in the AHL. I mean, look at guys like Connor Brown. Connor Brown, he had the privilege of playing with Connor McDavid, and now he's playing with the OHL, and now he's letting it up in the AHL. Like, how does that say for someone who starts in the OHL, lights it up with McDavid, plays in the AHL, still lights it up. So for people who keep saying that McDavid carried him, maybe carried him a bit, but yo, you cannot say that now because Connor Brown is lighting it up. And who's to say Lipstick? What? I think he got like 3 points or something his first like 8 games or something like that. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's still pretty good. Like, you see some of these guys, for example, that come up from the AHL, for example, on Toronto Maple Leafs, Kadri. Look how many times they'd bring him up. And he was doing good each time they brought him up. And then they'd put him back down to get him conditioned again and then bring him back up when his first came up to the Leafs. And now look at him. He's in the Leafs. He's in the top two lines. Top three, depending on how he's been playing, and so forth and so on. Like, Lipstick there could go down to the HL and friggin' light it up. At least say, okay, let's bring him up for a game and try him out. And then do the same thing. That's what we've been doing with a bunch of our players lately. Been trying to find something to work. We've only won maybe 2 games instead of 20. I don't know the exact stat, but
it's still bad.
it's bad. Like, we're giving Buffalo a run for the Connor McDavid sweepstakes, but besides that, we got to do something. Like, I don't know. I'm not a coach in the NHL, but it seems like as soon as they fired Carlisle, the Titanic started sinking at the same time.
Well, think about it, man. The wheels kind of came off the bus when I think Carlisle was still in charge. It's not – I don't blame it all on him. It's a whole team effort. It's the players. It's the coaches. It's the management. It's everything. It's mismanagement, cap, like picking up the wrong players and stuff like that. Everyone's to blame in that organization. But this happened even when Carlisle was still in charge. But the fact is that the fact that now that the Leafs are sinking this far down, it's like – and now the big saving grace for all the fans is that if they didn't announce they're going to go for like – a full on like rebuild, man, I'm sure the people would be rioting Toronto if Toronto still had their own head up their ass and thinking, oh no, we're a playoff contending team. We can still do okay. We can salvage this. It's like the past two seasons, it's been terrible. Last year, Olympic break rolls around. We're sitting second in the East. This year, I think we were second in our East, or at least second in our division or something. What happens? Boom. Losing streak. Everything goes to crap. Everything goes down. Carlisle gets fired. The management had to do something. I mean, they could not just idly sit by.
But that also comes back to the team, too, though. You got to look at it this way. No offense to any of our players, but as soon as Kessel, Bozak, and JVR get shut down, no offense, our backup offense wasn't doing anything either. Like, you shut down the main guys on our team that account for, like, I don't know, 60% of our goals. They're not performing the way they're supposed to. You got to look at it this way. Like, I agree, Carlisle wasn't fully to shoulder the blame. The players and stuff like that. Like, you have your skids, but you don't let it get down. I was watching on TSN a couple days ago that they were talking about the Leafs and had such a bad environment streak. It's hockey. You get the bad breaks with the good breaks. Like, our best season, we made an NHL playoff run, was the lockout season because we had a young run-and-gun team. We were physical. We were fast. We went. Reimer carried us, but now you got to look at it that way, is where did we go wrong getting rid of players? Who should we have kept signed, who should we have traded then, right? Instead of re-signing some of these guys that now are theoretically shitting the bed.
I can understand where you're coming from here, but another big thing I had a problem with is that, honestly, last year, and we're going to get back to the trade talk, but last year, I think the Leafs had one of the best rosters. I remember raving about this. I'm like, you had your top line of Kessel, Bozak, JVR, set in stone. You had Loophole, Kadri, and you had either, you plug in David Clarkson, you plug in Mason Raymond, one of those two on the second line. Then you had Dave Bolin, Nikolai Kuhlman, or Mason Raymond Clarkson, whatever one will have you in the third line that you didn't use in the second. And at the time, I thought, hey, this Paul Ranger guy looks like he's going to be something. Ugh, I regret that one. But I thought the Leafs, and they picked up Bernie, so I'm like, the Leafs have a pretty damn good team. I'm like, they can maybe make a run this year. And then what happened? 18-wheeler fell off the cliff again. And I was really bummed because I thought this team was the best, like one of the best teams that I've seen in the Maple Leafs in a while. And the fact that they crapped the bed like that hard after the Olympic break just ate at me and ate at me to the point where this season, especially at the free agent frenzy that happens, I think it's on Canada Day every year, July 1st, when they lost Raymond. They let him go to free agency. They didn't try to trade him because the Leafs thought, hey, maybe we can make a run for the playoff spot before freaking everything goes to hell. And lo and behold, they traded nobody. And they lost Raymond. They lost Bolin to free agency. They lost Nikolai Kuhlman. They lost Jay McClement. They basically lost like their bottom six entirely, and they had to fill that in the offseason. Which, again, came around to signing Santarelli for a steal, signing Daniel Winnick to a steal. And look at both those guys now. They're gone. Yeah. And they were freaking phenomenal.
Yep. I would have looked more at our top guys and said, okay, who here is not performing the way they should? Maybe loan them out for this season. Try and get a draft pick or two out of them. Like, do what everyone else does. Loan their good players out that they know they're going to make the playoffs, loan them out for the season for draft picks this year, next year, or even an AHL player. Like, in my opinion, we should have tried to loan some of our guys out so they can get the playoff experience.
Exactly, and I'm really glad that you brought up looking to the top players who weren't performing and move them out, because Lord Almighty, guess who got managed to get freaking moved this before the deadline? Number 71, David effing Clarkson. Did you see this coming?
No, actually, to be honest, I didn't see Clarkson getting moved, but
oh my God,
that's the thing. They tried to make a change. They're like, oh, well, Clarkson's not performing the way we wanted him to. He started playing amazing, in my opinion, as soon as the team started falling because we started seeing him out there more. He started being more physical. In the beginning of the season when he broke his jaw, I'm not going to lie, that was the best time to watch Clarkson. He was going crazy. He friggin' was laying hits. He was getting assists. I believe he got a couple goals. And he was playing the best hockey he could because Well, you don't have to worry about getting sticks in the face now. You got a broken jaw. You got to prove your worth. And maybe that's what the top six have to do. You got to prove that you're worth the money, the friggin' the A, the C, stuff like that, in order to stay on the team. Like, it should be like a Tri-County team in our hometown. If you do not want to play competitive or you're not giving it your all every night, there's someone that wants to.
Exactly. That's probably one of the best examples, is that if you don't want to play the way you're supposed to be playing, then there's someone else who will replace you. And that's not saying Clarkson's a bad player. It's just saying you should put your top stars on notice and let them know there's young guys who will play for you. But the thing is about the Clarkson trade, and it, obviously for Nathan Horton, who hasn't played a game this season, and hell, he may never play again, but I bet nobody saw this trade coming. And I'm not going to take credit like, hey, I've seen this happening. This is going to be great. But this was a really neat trade, and let me kind of bring this up. So Nathan Horton's contract with the Columbus Blue Jackets was, I think, for $5.3 million, so about $750,000 more than David Clarkson at $5.25 million. Now, for some weird reason, I don't know the logistics or how this happened, but Nathan Horton's contract wasn't insured by the Blue Jackets, so when he went down with injury, they couldn't. I guess they couldn't. Put him on like, well, he's on injured reserve, but they had to pay out his salary and had to count against the cap for some reason because it wasn't insured. So that was $5.3 million for someone who wasn't going to play. Now, the cool thing is that Clarkson, as good as he was performing, he hasn't been a home run stud since he's been here. He's put up decent numbers. He's played physical. He plays with the passion and emotion. David Clarkson loved being a Toronto Maple Leaf. There's no doubt about that. He wanted to come here. He rejected less money in other cities to play here in Toronto. And I got nothing but the utmost respect for the guy for doing something like that, for leaving money on the table in, say, Edmonton or, say, Buffalo or even Ottawa to come play in your hometown. Huge, huge respect to David Clarkson for that. But he loved being a Maple Leaf. And it was just one of those cases where he was underperforming for the money they were paying him. And so what did they do? I don't know. I think it was the Jackets GM, I don't quote me on his name because I don't even think I ever knew it, but he traded Nathan Horton for David Clarkson. Now, what the Leafs can do is they can put Nathan Horton on long-term injury reserve, and they don't have to pay out his, well, they're going to pay the guy, but his contract does not count against the salary cap. And so in moving David Clarkson, they effectively freed up $5.25 million. And guess whose contracts are coming up at the end of the year? Nazem Kadri and Jonathan Bernier. Kadri is $2.9 million, will get freed up. Bernier, I think LA still pay him. I don't know quite know his contract, but two marquee guys that you need to get re-signed. So moving out the 5.25, brilliant strategy. Adam, your thoughts?
Well, it is a good move by them. Like, I don't know the exact logistics of that trade. I know we got a guy that, like you said, might not be able to play again because of his back injury. I don't know if I'm right. We also got a draft pick in next year's draft, I believe. I'm
Incorrect.
not.
This was a player for player.
Oh, it's a
You're
direct
thinking
player
to
for
win a
player. I
trade.
thought, okay, yes, that must have been it. But that's the thing. We cleared up cap space by getting rid of Clarkson.
No, we
Like
cleared up
you
a lot of
pointed.
cap space, sir. We cleared up 5.25 million.
That's the thing, right? We cleared up that. But now we got to look at it this way. We got Bernier as a good faces 40 shots almost in a typical game against like the Penguins, the Capitals, any top team. He faces a numerous amount of shots. In my opinion, he is a perfect starter. So now we got to look at it this way. Let's sign him for a couple years. For all you know, he could get the Toronto Maple Leafs curse, end up like Toscala, Raycroft.
Oh, don't bring up those names in here.
I'm sorry, but like, it's true, though. Look at those goalies. They were stars, right? And then next thing you know, they came. And I don't know if Toronto has a curse for goalies, but then we finally get a good goalie. We got rid of Rask. We've got rid of tons of good goalies that ended up on other teams that regretfully kicked their ass in the playoffs one year. Not trying to say Boston at all here, but
No,
ouch.
But the Raycroft thing and Tuukka Rask, that just burns a hole in my heart. But continue.
It does, but that's the thing. We gotta try and get a number one goalie. So if we believe Bernier is going to play amazing for a couple years, sign him to 2-3 and then make it worth our time. Either if Reimer's gonna be a backup, and then we also gotta look now. Do we want to keep Kadri or do we want to try and trade bait him and try and pull another big gun in? That's the big question at the end of the season. In my, like, if I were me, if Kadri is still willing to play for the Leafs for what he's playing, getting paid right now,
$2.9 million.
So $2.9 million,
which is gonna
if
go
he
up,
wants more,
go
yeah, he's gonna probably want more. But that's the thing; he's got to prove he's worth it now. Like, I don't know what his plus minus is right now, but in the past couple of games, I haven't really seen too much of him lighting it up like he used to when he first got pulled up to the Leafs. So that's the thing; he's got to want to play for that money, in my opinion.
No, fair enough. I'm gonna actually piggyback off that here. I'm gonna answer that question: is Kadri worth it? Nazem Kadri is absolutely worth the money. I don't know if anyone like follows individual stats at all, but like or like not individual, sorry, advanced stats. But Nazem Kadri has like one of the best Fenwicks and Corsis in like on the Toronto Maple Leafs. His goals for 60 minutes. So I don't know if you follow. Do you follow advanced stats?
I haven't been too closely, but I've watched them every now and again, to be
okay,
honest.
Okay, no, fair enough. So I'm going to give a quick little rundown of, like, Corsi. Corsi is, like, shots at the net, like, total shots, like, at the net, whether they're blocked or whether they're, you know, like, deflected or whatever. That's Corsi, everything thrown at the net. Fenwick, it is, I believe it's everything thrown at the net minus block shots. So simple stuff to follow. Kadri's Corsi is 209. His goals for 60 minutes. You know how a player may be on the ice 23 minutes a game?
Yep.
His goals for 60 minutes is 0.78. So for every 60 minutes, he gets 7.8 of a goal. He's pretty freaking high. His assists for 60 minutes, 0.99.
That's pretty good.
He's got fantastic hands. He can set up with the best of them. That's so far this year. Compared to last year, he's above his goals for 60 by about 0.12. And his assist, he finished last season with 1.05. Kadri is here to stay. Give him the $4 million that he deserves and give Bernier $4 million that he deserves.
That's
my take. Do you agree with that? Can you agree with that? Or do you have anything else to
add? I totally agree. But the one thing I want to see Kadri do is not try and carry the puck and one-man it so much. I've watched a couple games where every time he tries to one-man, he gets stripped of the puck. And then next thing you know, it's going back into our end, and they end up either eventually keeping it in our zone and not being able to break out, or it leads to a goal. If he were to tighten up on being more heads up, in my opinion, and look, oh, bank it off the boards and of trying to be fancy and toe drag, or like I've seen him try a couple times, it would be more effective in my opinion. Like, he's a great player, I will admit. Yes, he will be deserving of $4 million, but he's got to learn to not try and one man when he's coming out of his zone, because he loses the puck too much as of late. Now, this could change for the next couple games. We could see a totally different Kadri. We could see one that puts up a hat trick, puts up friggin' 3 assists. Who knows? It's hockey.
Exactly. I can agree with you. He does have a bit of a showman side and try to carry the puck up, which he does get stripped. That's been a known issue forever. Sometimes he can embellish. As a Leaf fan, I'll admit it. Kadri can take a dive. He can also dive for penalties. He's one of the best penalty drawing people in the league, if not the best. I will single him out for that.
That is true. That's one thing he is good at. He's good at getting under people's skin. I remember actually watching a Pittsburgh game, and Kadri was sitting there friggin' every time Crosby got on the ice, hitting Crosby, getting in Crosby's face. That's the kind of Kadri I want to see again. Lately, he's almost like, I know the whole team's in a slump, but it seems like when a whole team goes in a slump, you lose that competitive edge. If he goes back to the same way he would get in Crosby's face, hit Crosby, make those giant hits, friggin' that Kadri would, in my opinion, be worth almost $4 million and maybe deserving of the A.
No, absolutely. That Kadri is the Kadri I want to see, the Kadri of old. and returning to that grace. Hopefully he just, once he returns there, I hope he never loses his grace. Brilliant segue here. Trust me, Adam, you'll learn to do these after you get a couple podcasts under your belt. A man who never lost his grace, even since back in the 90s, Jaromir Jagr, traded to the Florida Panthers for a second in 2015, so this year, and a third in 2016. How in the hell is this guy still playing?
My opinion, I have no idea, but go Jagr. I watched Sportsnet the other day and saw his first game. He scores. Going to a different team, it's like, how does a guy that's in his 40s keep doing this? Like, he's a great player. And honestly, if he makes it up to his 50s and can still play, go Jagr.
I think this is like his sixth NHL team in like 4 years. Like, he is slowly making the rounds. I remember jokingly there was a t-shirt and it was called Moves Like Jagr, and it had them like with this mullet and everything. And I told, I think, the designer of the shirt, I'm like, hey, you know what you should do? On the back of that shirt, put like, instead of like tour dates, put like all the teams he's played for in the years, because that would fill up the entire back of the shirt.
There's no doubt in my mind that would. He's been in the NHL before I think I was born.
Yep, before you and I were both born.
Which is pretty good. Like, the game's getting faster. I know the physicalness is getting taken down a bit by the big concussion talk and the lawsuits that go on like that. But for a guy to be in the season for more than 20 years, that is a big compliment to his skill. If he can keep going for another 10, I think he would be a Hall of Fame for, look, this guy joined in this year to this year. He did almost a 30-year spread of in the NHL and could still perform at that age. That would be amazing.
There is no doubt in my mind that Jaromir Jagr is going in the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt in my mind he's going in. He's going to be first ballot Hall of Famer. The thing is that people like really take for granted of Jaromir Jagr's skill. When Jagr gets the puck, he is a big body to move. He might not have the fastest skating, but when he gets that puck, it is pretty damn hard to get that puck off him. He is very good at controlling it, especially in the offensive zone corners. Like, if he's down there...
Yeah, I was
there,
just about to say. I was about to say the corners are dangerous. Oh, sorry for interrupting. But those corners, like you said, he is dangerous. I watched him play the Leafs when he was in New Jersey, and you get a little guy like friggin' Morgan Riley trying to take a puck off him, and he just, there goes Riley, and I'll stay in my corner. Oh, set a guy up, score. It's just, he makes it look almost like I don't even know how to give him a reference. He's just that good in the corners.
He just Jagrs it in the corners. He is his own
exactly.
Adjective. He is his own verb adjective.
He makes the Chuck Norris quiver.
I need to put that in a shirt. Jaromir Jagr makes Chuck Norris quiver. That is, but you know what? I think there's one defenseman who can maybe take Jaromir Jagr, and he actually got traded to the New York Rangers, and that is Captain Keith Yandel. He's not actually the captain. That's actually from a video series, 2BC Productions, Johnny Superman. Check him out. But Keith Yandel to the Rangers for a first in 2016. A second in 2015, John Moore and Mr. I'm going to score a goal like 10 seconds to the World Juniors gold medal game this year, Anthony Duclair. Wow. Keith Yandel on the New York Rangers blue line with Mark Stahl, Dan Girardi. That is, wow, they're boosting up their defense. And then you got Lundqvist in the net. New York's getting dangerous, man.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with that. Like, you figure you got New York made a playoff run, and was it last year they went up against LA? I'm not 100%.
Yeah, it was just this past, playoffs.
So you got to figure, I don't think they moved too many of their core players this year. So you figure they just added Yandel. They got, gave up a first, second, and a couple players. But you got to look at it this way. You just pretty much stacked your D-line. So if they make another push this year, you got a solid defensive core. So you got Yandel, you got... who else is back there?
Stepan, he could be Mark Stahl.
Well, that's the thing. If you pair him even with those guys.
Sorry, not Stepan, Girardi. I was thinking Stepan because of the playoffs. Never mind.
Yeah. You figure he gets paired with either one of those two, and it's going to be crazy. You put him on the line, he could probably feed Nash, St. Louis, any one of those good forwards, and he's got a shot. So, like, you put him anywhere on a line with those two, and I see fire.
I
wouldn't
fire,
want to be the other team.
Definitely goals.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't even want to be the other goalie. I'd be like, ah, great.
The only thing that kind of bums me out is the fact that New York gave up Anthony Duclair, who I love Anthony Duclair. He in the juniors this year was phenomenal. And I'm kind of jealous because I really wish the Leafs picked up Duclair. But, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Good for Rangers for boosting their D-line. This is more than fair for Arizona to pick up a first next year, second, John Moore and Anthony Duclair. This is more than fair for both teams. A trade is giving up assets and getting assets that work for you and work for the teams. A lot of people say wins and loses trade. For this one, I may have to
go against
you.
I'd say a draw.
You say who won, sorry?
I'd say a draw, to be honest.
Yeah, I was going to say, if anything, I'm leaning more towards Arizona, just because I'm personally biased for Duclair and draft picks. But
you got to look at it this way, too, though, right? They're making a push for the playoffs. You want, what's worth it for you, a Stanley Cup or a potential good player?
No, fair enough.
That's
see,
thing, right?
That's why I have you on here. That's why. You bring me back down to earth, my friend. You bring me
I love fighting. It's fun.
It's fun. Another big trade here, because for those of you know me, huge Chicago Blackhawks fan. Antoine Vermette went to the Blackhawks for their 2015 first and Klaus Dahlbeck. Can someone really slow down the Blackhawks? Like, because they are getting really too good again. Like, they are just boisting up, and it's insane. Like, when is this team not going to be good is my question.
When they run out of money is the only thing I can think of. You got a bunch of young stars. You got Taves, Kane, Sharp got traded, if I'm correct.
Nope, Sharp is good. Rumors are flying around,
Sharp's
but they were
good.
Fake. But Sharp's getting a little
I didn't know if those rumors. Yeah. Well, you figure you still got Seabrook, Duncan Keith on the D. You got Crawford, who's been playing amazing. So you figure you got a bunch of key guys that are still really young. So they're as their age goes up, they're only going to get better. So, like, it's hard to say. I don't know if in the next 2 years, for all we know, their pocketbooks could hurt. They could have to get rid of some of the good guys. But then again, you make a run for the playoffs, those guys are going to keep together.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say. For the next 5 years, we could see the same Blackhawks just trade one player at a time.
No, it's fair enough. Or like, because they are too smart. They will trade before the deadline and get good picks because they are like that. They will not let someone like a Sharp or a Seabrook go to free agency. They are smart. They know what they have, and they will move pieces. It's great to see Antoine Vermette go to the Hawks, though. He was killer in Arizona, which I'm really getting mad that Arizona's trading their good players because that means they're going to – no offense, Arizona Coyotes fans, but the more good players you get rid of, the more losses you're likely to have. And as a Leafs fan, I want them to start winning and stop losing. For selfish reasons, which I'm not going to say. I'm not even going to say it. I'm just going to Connor McSave it. Oh, shit. But you get the point. Sorry, Steve Bengel. I had to use that. It was clever. But Chicago, you're too deadly. Honestly, it's whoever comes out of the East final, good luck, because facing a West team is never fun. In your opinion, who are the three dangerous teams in the West?
Oh, right now it's actually really hard. Every team that I've been seeing has been playing awesome. Like, couldn't give you a straight answer. Chicago's been doing good. I know they're east-ish.
Chicago's west. They just Midwest.
Yeah.
Someone get this guy a map, please.
Bad.
Somebody get him a map.
Hey, I was...
Hems a K, get him a map, please.
Off, okay.
It was sudden, I forget.
But
it's
yeah,
okay.
Like,
you never have to go this far in depth.
But that's the thing. Like, in the West, it's the hardest division. They say it every time I watch a sports show. Like, TSN says it. Sportsnet says it. Whatever team comes out of the East has the harder time playing the teams in the West. I don't know why this is. I don't know if that's the water out there or they train up in the mountains. Or we're just fat on the east side or something. I don't know.
Someone take the cookies away from Kessel, damn it.
But I don't know. Like, I honestly think any team in the West right now that makes the playoffs is going to be dangerous.
Yes. 100%.
I couldn't give you a straight top three. They all have a shot at doing it. It's a tight group.
I think we can both agree that Edmonton is probably not a dangerous team in the West.
Well, okay. That's just cruel. It's Edmonton.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry, Oilers
fans. We can't pick on them.
You guys got so much resiliency and so much reserve. I just applaud you for being Oilers fans. As a Leaf fan, I can hardly begin to imagine like how this rebuild's going to be when you guys have been rebuilding for like 15 years. That's a bad stat. Well, it's probably not accurate, but I'm just saying Edmonton.
It's true, though. They've been rebuilding. Like, you got to look at the talent they got, man. Like, Taylor Hall, Everly, Nugent Hopkins, all of that. Talent is just sitting there.
Tricycle. How? How are they in, like, second last, dude? Like, it makes no sense. They got, like, two firsts.
I'm not trying to be mean to the Edmonton.
Firsts. Sorry.
But they, in my opinion, they ruined their first players because they didn't give them time to actually grow, get used to the NHL. They're just like, we need them. We need them in now. Now. You're playing. No time to train, pretty much. It's like, we're not even going to tempt you in the NHL. You're going to the NHL. And then the fact is, they got no defense. Just saying.
No, you were absolutely right. They got no defense, and they got no goaltending. They got Victor Fast, and then Ben Scrivens. Ben frickin' Scrivens,
hey,
guys.
Scribbles used to be good, man. Scribbles used to be good.
Oh, Scribbles, I miss that guy. No, yeah, God, cough. Oh, Ben Scrivens, what is wrong with you? If you could just stay in your goddamn crease, we would not have a problem anymore. Like, ugh.
Okay. So, poor Edmonton.
We're gonna wrap it up with a couple Q&A questions here. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions here. What is your favorite Selly that you've seen all time?
Oh, in all honesty, there's been a lot.
But which one is your favorite? Like, come on, there's got to be one Selly that's you love it every time you see it.
I cannot remember who it was. It was, I believe, Colorado Avalanche. He skated to the blue line and dove.
Yes, did, like, it was. Superman. It was. Was it Hayduke or Tange? It was one of the two.
I think it was one of those two. And my honest opinion, that was the best I've seen. Then again, there's a goalie that's been doing some pretty weird celebrations in one of the foreign leagues, I believe, where he does a dance or he dresses up weird or I don't know.
It's like, but the league, so I can never keep up with them. If he's dancing, fair enough. They're
fine. Yeah, he's got a weird celebration, but like he changes it up. Well, if I knew his name, I just know he's a goalie. He plays on a team. He does a weird dance, then he's posing, then he's, I think he bowled once. I'm not 100% sure on that statistic. It's hard, like you said, it's hard to keep up with nothing NHL, AHL, OHL, stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, so here's another question I want to pose to you because this, I think, will get you. Okay, so you've got a good blue line, okay, and you got room for one more. Would you rather have as your top blue line guy Shea Weber or Ray Bourque in his prime?
Okay, I got a counter question.
Okay.
Would this team be the Maple Leafs or Edmonton Oilers?
that makes it even harder. Okay, you know what? Let's say you have a middle-of-the-pack team. You got like a, you know, I'd say you're third in your division. So you're
Carolina Hurricanes.
No, they're terrible. What are you talking about? Okay, let's go with someone like a, I'm trying to think here. Okay, you're a middle-of-the-pack team, okay? Would you rather have, as your top defenseman, Shea Weber now or Ray Bourque in his prime?
Well, it's all hard to say. My personal opinion, I like Shea Weber. I would choose him. He is a big guy. He's got a monster slap shot. Well, look at this here. In the NHL All-Star game, he had 107.5. I believe it was 107.5.
Yeah.
Could you imagine him getting a shot off like that on an actual blue line? Like, really? Me, I played goalie. If I saw him line up for a shot, I'd be like, here's the net. go shoot at that net. I don't want to be in that net.
I tell everyone who has to face your shot the same thing. Just get out of that net. You don't want to face that shot. Just go. Here, give him the net.
But yeah, like, that'd be hard. I personally would pick Shea Weber, but then again, Bourque is a great player too. So depends on what you want. Do you want a big guy, hard shot, or a skillful guy?
Yeah, you know what? Fair enough. I can understand your answer. Yeah, yeah. Shea Weber's.
If I had enough salary cap, I'd get both of them.
I'd get both of them. I don't know if you'd be able to afford both guys. I mean, then again, I mean, yeah, the cap thing wasn't around when Ray Bourque was there. I mean, look at the 2001 Stanley Cup run. Just win it for Ray. Win it for Ray.
Oh boy.
Oh, I watched the documentary.
But if I had to give you a solid answer, I would say Shea Weber, buddy.
Okay, Shea Weber, perfect. Last question. It's going to be the hardest one. I think you may know what's coming here. Your pick to win the 2015 NHL Stanley Cup. Who's going to win this year?
I'm going to go out on a ledge and say Nashville.
Nashville. Okay. And reasons to back that up?
When Pekka Rinne is on his game, he's a very hard goalie to solve. Not just that, they got Cody Franson on the blue line now. You figure they got a bunch of great defensive pairings now. They got the forwards. We don't hear their names every day. We don't live in Florida. But
Nashville's in Tennessee.
Nashville.
Someone really give this guy a map, please. I'm begging you.
I had a moment.
Kickstarter to give Adam Davies a map.
I was thinking of the Florida Panthers for a second. I was thinking of the Florida Panthers because I just saw a trade pop up on my phone.
Okay, it was probably from a while back.
Yeah. But, no, if Nashville, Pekka Rinne plays the way he's been playing, they will be a hard team to beat come playoffs.
You know what? Fair enough.
Their forwards can perform. So.
Absolutely.
I choose Nashville.
Nashville, that's a very solid pick. Honestly, I always just go with whatever team comes out of the West because the West is a harder division. I'm personally biased. I always pick the Blackhawks every year because, you know, Blackhawks fan, it's what we do. We believe we can win it. If they win it for this year, that's a dynasty right there. Three cups, 5 years, dynasty. Hands down, dynasty. Well, you know what? That actually about wraps it up here for the PG Puckcast here. Adam, I got to thank you for coming on the show today, man. It was actually it was great to have you on. And chat about some puck, dude.
Not a problem, man. I always enjoy coming on the podcast and talking about hockey, whatever else we get on the topics of.
No, fair enough. Where can people connect with you? Where can they talk to you if they have any questions or concerns about hockey? What if they want to chat with you? Where can they connect with you?
On Facebook, Adam Davies. I have a paintball picture on there. It's pretty generic.
Okay,
yeah. Back with Phil. He's got my cell phone number. I'm not just going to randomly give that out.
Well, you know what? I'll throw up the Facebook. I'll throw up the old Twitter. People can get a hold of you there. Know what? I got to thank you for coming on here. Do you have any closing remarks you want to get in here?
Well, hopefully the Leafs can turn it around, and I guess go Nashville, go.
Go Nashville, go. So for Adam Davies and PGP, you stay classy, and for Hamza Karaji, who's probably listening on his computer with his earphones in doing some animation, keep it fresh.